Scripture says that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I want to pray, Lord, that every scripture, every word would come to be implanted in our lives in such a significant way that we'd go from this place knowing we're changed. And if we're not changed, we will be changed. And Father, I pray for that kind of faith today, that you'd birth amongst your people here today, amongst us who've come, Lord, from many places this morning. And I just want to thank you that your word never returns void, but accomplishes exactly what you desire. So Holy Spirit of living God, come empower us. Lord, unless you build the house, we labor in vain. We labor in vain. And we ask, God, that you'd come and that you'd speak to us. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. One of the things about resurrection is that from the human standpoint, it's just something that's just sometimes too hard to grasp and understand. Those of us who've been taught the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who've spent many Easters, is maybe it's not that difficult, but I want to tell you, around the world today, and ever since man started dying at the garden when they sinned, when folks lost the holiness and the glory of God, and people started dying, this thing called the resurrection can sometimes be very impossible in the minds of people. And do you know why? Because it's impossible apart from God. What God did at the tomb 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem when he rolled the stone away, not so Jesus could get out, so you could look in and notice that he's gone. When he did that, he did something that was absolutely, totally impossible for you and I to ever accomplish on our own. Is that right? No man can raise people from the dead unless God gives authority to him like he gave Jesus Christ. It's an impossibility. An impossibility apart from the living God. And so this feat, this event, this great thing that happened when Jesus conquered the grave and God raised him from the dead, when the Spirit of God spoke and he came out of that grave, something significant began to happen. Something great. Now let me tell you what that I believe that is. What was so significant is that the word of God that had been preached and proclaimed from the very foundation of sin, when the foundation of when man fell, that God has come to accomplish what he's been promising for all eternity and all history. That our great God conquers death. He conquers death. He conquers darkness. He conquers failure. He conquers sickness. He conquers death. From the cross to the grave, to the sky to your life, to come and effect a resurrection of such that no man can really fathom until he comes to that faith in Christ Jesus. You know, it's interesting when you look at this passage of Scripture, I wonder about it and I think about it. It's a powerful passage of Scripture that that I think about. Verses 1 through 12. If you would, just for a moment, turn back to Luke 23 and verse 50. Jesus has died, and a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to their plan and action. A man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down and he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one ever had ever lain. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. And now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one?" to the ground. "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? And he's not here, but he's risen." Now listen, watch this. Remember? Remember. Remember how he spoke. Remember how he spoke to you. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And then they remembered his words. They'd been hearing this. Jesus had been speaking this. And everyone's forgotten. They have forgotten what Jesus had said. And so there's no delegation. There's no representation. Early in the morning that day to say, hey, this is what Jesus has said. Let's get to the grave and watch it happen. Forgot. You've got folks coming to the grave to finish the burial process, which is pretty intensive. You have folks in the upper room scared to death, and they forgot. They forgot. Now, the religious, they remembered what Jesus said, so they said, they go to Pilate and say, hey, well, can you get some folks to guard the grave? Because we think that their disciples are going to come and rob the grave and then say he's been risen from the dead, just as he was saying. They remembered what he said, but they forgot. Matter of fact, that's not even in their mind to go steal the body of Jesus because of what Jesus said. They have forgotten. They have forgotten the resurrection words of Jesus, that he comes to conquer death and he comes to be raised from the dead so that the death and the sting of death would no longer be accomplished in your life and mine. And no one went to that tomb to look. And I want to suggest to you this morning that they had every reason to expect the resurrection. And I want to say this to you. You may be here today and you don't know the resurrection power of Jesus. That you live in the sinful life. You live a life that just is broken. Live a life that is just dark. You live a life that you just can't get a handle on. And maybe perhaps you haven't heard, or maybe you've just forgotten that that's not the intention of Jesus for your life. The intention of Jesus for your life is the resurrected life of Christ living in you, so that you might walk in the power of God all the days of your life, walk in the power of God for the rest of your life. Then watch this, fulfilling the purposes of God that he has just for you. That his purposes for you. And I want to ask, church, do you remember? Do you remember the promises of God? These folks, they had every reason to believe. They had every reason to expect resurrection. But they just forgot. But then when they remembered the words, in verse 9, they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11, to all the rest. And these wonderful women who are the first at the grave, they're first there. They are spoken to and they get to go and tell for the very first time that Jesus has been risen from the dead. And they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary and the mother of James. Also, the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense. And they would not believe them. And Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling, watch this, at what had happened. They forgot. I'm going to tell you, they had every reason to expect a change and a resurrection. And I'm going to say this, if you're in Christ, you have every reason to expect God to do his most perfect work in your life and in your loved ones. If you're in Christ, I've got a little feedback coming back from, I guess, monitors. Can you help me? Thank you. And that's just the promise of God. And when I say that they had every reason to remember, every reason to expect, it's because these folks, these guys, these women, I mean, they've grown up hearing the Word of God. They've grown up hearing the Scripture. They've grown up reading the Scripture. They know the Torah. They know the Psalms. They know the prophets. They know these things. And they've seen God, the stories of God, accomplished all their lives. They've seen it. They've seen history. They've read about history, and they've understood that God's a God who does impossible things. He promises, God promises. They're impossible promises, but I want to tell you, God comes and fulfills impossible promises. And that's what resurrection's all about. They should have remembered. Every reason to expect. We see it in the words of Jesus, but we see it in the Word of God, or God in the Old Testament. God's impossible promise. Let me tell you, we must remember His Word, and we must remember His Word fulfilled. And what I mean by that is that we must remember what God says, and if you're not there yet, you need to remember the things that God has fulfilled in your life in the past, and what God has done throughout all history. We must remember and never forget. Even in the darkest of days, the darkest of seasons, the darkest of nights, we need to remember that resurrection power is available today in your life. Circumstances may not change, but I want to tell you what God comes to do. He comes to change your life in the midst of unchanging circumstances. You must remember this. We must remember this. We must believe what God has said, what God has promised, and what God promises, He always delivers. And they could have seen, the history of Israel. They could have remembered. You know, do you remember when God made this impossible promise to Abraham and how Abraham fulfilled this promise? The promise was this: I'm going to make you a great nation, and because of you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. To your seed, I'm going to give. To your descendants, I'm going to give. I'm going to give these promises. I'm going to give this land. And he's about 75 years old when God starts promising him. And the problem is that they haven't had children. And they're old. And they're way past childbearing years. Yet at some point, after God's chased him for about 20 years in the Middle East, chasing him from place to place, giving him these promises. Finally, and Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 4. You can see it. You can see it on the screen. He says this about Abraham. When Abraham finally believed and God reckoned him to it as righteousness, he says, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his body as good as dead, since it was about 100 years old now. And then the deadness of Sarah's womb. But yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured of what God had promised, he was able to perform. They had every reason to believe that God would perform the promise. That God would, yes, Jesus would be nailed to a cross and crucified, but yet, 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. They have Father Abraham's example, an impossible promise come to pass because a man believed. Folks, if you don't remember or if you don't know, you're going to have a hard time believing that God can take the empty things and fill them up with only you can be filled with that brings contentment and joy, and that is God Himself. But they forgot. They forgot the stories. They forgot the promises. That God promises something in the midst of deadness. In the midst of death, God promises life. He's always done that. He still does that today. And therefore, which I see is dead has absolutely no bearing on what God says and what God does. If God says you're going to have a baby at 100 years old, listen, you can look at your body as good as dead, but with respect to the promise of God, don't waver in unbelief because God is able to perform the impossible. And I want to say, if it's not impossible, You don't have to live by faith. You hear that? If what God says is possible by your strength, then we don't have to live by faith. But if it's impossible, if all the promises and all the things that God's promised is impossible as far as you're concerned, apart from Christ, then it's by faith. It's by faith. And they forgot. Forgot the stories. Forgot what Jesus said. They didn't remember. But we're a people who don't forget. We're a people that need to remember every time we're facing the tomb. Every time we're facing something dead. That God comes and He performs impossible promises that He has made from His mouth and from His life and from His word. And so you look through history and you see Noah building an ark for an impossible flood. You see Moses saying, set my people free to a Pharaoh from impossible circumstances. You see Joshua being told to defeat Jericho with an impossible strategy for victory. Just march around it. Just march around it and it's yours. An impossible strategy. Possible. He uses David to go slay Goliath, an impossible victory. Nehemiah, go rebuild my wall in the midst of impossible confrontation. Mary, you're going to bear a son even while you are a virgin. Zacharias, you'll bear a son. You and Sarah, well, you and Elizabeth will bear a son in your old age. Jesus' ministry, break these few loaves of bread and a couple of fish and watch me feed 5,000 to the leper. Go show yourself to the priest and be cleansed of your leprosy. Peter, come, walk on the water to me. To the centurion whose servant is laying sick, he's healed today. He's healed today. They saw the synagogue's official dead daughter raised from the dead, the widow's son raised during a funeral procession, and they saw Lazarus, who they spent time with him and his sisters in their home, being served by these sisters. They saw Lazarus and the word fulfilled to his sister Mary, your brother will rise again. Even laid in the tomb for 4 days, a body rotting and decomposing. But they missed it. They missed it for a moment. And they forgot. Hope was deferred in their mind. And hope deferred makes the heart sick, Scripture says. Impossible words, calling into existence that which does not exist, and giving life to the dead. This word is central to the Jewish nation when Father Abraham birthed this new work by his faith. And they were all a part of it, but they forgot. They didn't remember. It's interesting that just a few days earlier in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 54, that says that when Jesus died, resurrection immediately began to take place. The old of religion and ceremonial law and priests were ushered out, and the age of grace began as the temple veil was torn in two from top to bottom, as tombs were opened and bodies of the saints were raised and given back to their families. Resurrection was already happening. And I want to say this. If you find yourself in a situation that you think your circumstances are dead, or you think that you're lost, or you think that something's happening in your life right now that just has no way to be restored or to be made right, I want to say resurrection's already happening. And I pray that God would open your eyes to see it's already happening. It was already happening on Friday. From Abraham to dead saints rising from the dead. They should have known. You should know. And I don't mean this as a point the finger. I say it to me, we should know. Instead of walking weeks and months in stress and anxiety over things that are broken, we need to expect resurrection, because we have every reason to expect resurrection. Every reason. And I want you to think about this for a moment. What is it that's lost in your life? What is it that's dark in your life? What is it that's dead in your life? Know that resurrection power is available to begin working today. Because why? It's already working. Amen. It's already working. And I can ask the question, how many of you know that resurrection power is working in your life right now? Right here. Yeah. Good. Somebody right over here. Yeah, it's already working. Just look around. It's already working. Nobody in that section, but everybody else over here. Oh, yeah. I'm afraid he might call on me. It's already happening. It was already happening Friday. All the words that Jesus was saying and speaking and all the things that Jesus had done for 3 years of ministry, it points to resurrection power and new life. It points to Jesus conquering the grave. And I want to just say today, let's not just come to church today or any resurrection Sunday, because every Sunday we celebrate resurrection, every first day of the week. Because what I marvel at in these impossible promises in the Bible is that what God promises, when they're impossible apart from Him, they are possible with Him. And I want you to do this right. I want you to identify what is the biggest thing that's happened in your life that seems so negative, that seems so down, that seems so lost, that seems so dead. Identify it right now in your heart. Go on, identify it. This is what's lost. This is what's empty. This is what I feel is dead. This is where I'm struggling. This is where I'm hurting. Right here in the midst of this. Because there's another thing that I want to say. Is if we remember and we believe, then we can expect and anticipate a resurrection. Resurrection from the deadness of sin, where God redeems us for the very first time and we're born again to new life, just like Anna testified that happened a few weeks ago. So a few weeks ago, she was confessing in this water that she died and she was buried with Christ and she was raised to walk in newness of life. That's resurrection. Resurrection for a 12-year-old girl. But maybe there's something else. Maybe there's something else in your life. I mean, you know Christ. You believe in Christ. Christ has done this work in your life. But all of a sudden, something's happened. You've lost hope. And the fulfillment, as it just lingered, you thought that things were going to happen, but somehow it just didn't. So you gave up. You took all the spices to the grave to do the last rites when resurrection was already happening, when resurrection was already taking place. Maybe it's something in your life. Maybe it's a relationship, a marriage. It's not just on the rocks. It's fading fast. Maybe it's just dead. And the life that it does have is you just think it's a living dead. And you come to say, it's dead. You come to say it. And I say, quit saying it. Quit saying these things are dead. And you believe that God can come and move in such a way to resurrect something that you never dreamed that God could resurrect. It may be something in your family. It may be something going on. You just think it's dead. You just think it's done. It may be a wayward daughter, or a wayward son, or a hurting daughter, or an angry child. It's just dead. Maybe you struggle with church life, and there's no commitment. There's no active service. There's no giving of your life because something happened in the past. And in that area of my life, it's just dead. Or your work or your career, it's dead. It's on the fast track to nowhere. I'm not happy. I'm discontent. I'm miserable. I'm stressed. And I might be even retired and think that's it. But I'm going to say, no way. God gives new life. God gives new life. Listen, there's every reason to expect the resurrection of Jesus. Every reason to believe that God can raise you up from the ashes of wherever you've been. I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 37, if you would. I was reading this morning that Ezekiel 37 is read sometime during the Passover, the several days of Passover. It's read. It's a powerful thought. I was reading this morning from a Jewish guy. He says, we read this every time when we do the Seder. Let me ask you a question. Even up to the death of Christ, there was every reason to believe,
every reason to believe that there'd be resurrection. I mean, there's this great possibility that sometime in that night that he was betrayed or sometime later, they read this passage. Jews, even today, they read it. They read it every time. At least that's what I read this morning. Notice, chapter 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, they were very, very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very, very dry. Dry bones. You know what that means? It means they've been dead a while. They've been dead a while. And there are a bunch of them. There are a bunch of bones. There's a bunch of skeletons. There's a bunch of skulls and arms and tibulas and toes. And it's a bunch. It's very dry. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "Oh, Lord God, you know. You know." And then he said, "Prophesy over these bones and say, 'Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I'll put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive and you will know that I'm the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. And say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain so that they may come to life.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." Now, what's so great about this passage of Scripture is that it has an immediate fulfillment. It's an immediate historical fulfillment. It's a fulfillment that God's going to gather back Israel together. But I want to suggest to you there is a messianic fulfillment. Because I don't know about you, and I hope you've heard me say this. When I open the Old Testament, I see Jesus on every page. Every page. And this is a passage that's read. It's read every year. Can these bones live? They have every reason to expect resurrection. I'm talking expectation. I'm talking about something in your heart deep down that because of your faith in Christ, that you just know it's coming and you just know it's going to happen. And you become like Abraham, hope against hope, contemplating all this stuff that you say is dead, but yet in respect to the promise of God, we grow strong in faith. You know what I say? Let me say this. Angel said, why are you looking for the living one amongst the dead? We have to get our head and our senses and our thoughts and our core beliefs that if they are against what Scripture says, we've got to get our head out of that and got to get our head in this Word of God that says this is what Jesus comes to do. He comes to resurrect you. He comes to give you new life. Listen, that experience happened to me when I was 8 years old. I remember it so clearly. Went, got on a little bike, 8-year-old guy, went down to the pastor's study, walked into his study, and this pastor leads me to Christ. And I do. I remember riding my little red bike all the way home, about a block and a half, knowing that something significant happened in my life. I couldn't maybe articulate it totally, but I knew it. And as I look back, what was it? It was resurrection. I remember coming out of a hotel room after someone told me that I could be free from the fear of death and deceit, and knowing when I walked out that something significant happened in my life, that I was set free and I was no longer dead to the faith of God, but I was now dead to fear and worry and anxiety and stress. This is what resurrection is all about. It's the power of it. And what I'd like to do is I would like for you to go to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll finish out this Easter service, and we'll look at this power of resurrection, because the question that I want to ask is right now is, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Can your dead bones live? Yes, they can. And if you're in Christ Jesus today, I say, let's expect it. Not that they can live, but they will live. Because that's the essence. It's the essence of faith. It's the essence of faith. Listen, we look at the scripture and we see that the power of the resurrection from the dead is the cornerstone of our faith. The resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone. 1 Corinthians 15:13 says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. It's the greatest part of our salvation experience, the confession of Christ as Lord and believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And according to Romans 10:9, we get saved from that death. We get saved. And we get raised. Chapter 2, verse 1. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Before you came to Christ, Paul says, we were dead. Dead. No senses to the things of God. Just like a corpse on a battlefield or a corpse in a funeral home, it has no life. That's how you and I are spiritually without Christ. That's why we need this Savior. That's why we believe in him. That's why we believe to come in and to save us so that we might walk in the resurrection power that's symbolic right here, pictured by this baptism this morning. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. Dead. No, notice what he says this deadness looks like. It's where you formerly walked. Dead people walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. And he says this, and we all too, formerly lived. Formerly lived. We formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest, But God's mercy, rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. From death to life. From a former way of life to a new way of life. I want to ask you, church, have you been resurrected from the dead? Has your spirit, has your soul been resurrected from the dead? Has it? Has your life been transformed? Has it been transformed into the likeness of Christ because of the resurrection power of Jesus? To have that kind of hope, to have that kind of faith, to see that kind of work in God's light, in our lives through God, God working in us, I'm going to tell you that we can expect resurrection every single day of our life. We have every reason to expect resurrection. But folks, we've got to remember. That's why we have to be in our Word. So I have to be in the Bible. I have to be in Scripture. And I want to ask you, are you reading your Bible today? Are you reading it so God can speak to your heart and speak to your life so that you can make the appropriate changes or the appropriate walk that God's called you to walk? Is the Bible, is it being wrought out in your life? Because I want to tell you, when you're raised up and you're walking according to Him, you don't live that way anymore. Because we're new people. And I want to know, church, this Resurrection Sunday, are you a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you new in Christ? I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? And I'm going to ask the praise team, if you could come on back up. Would you come back up? Thank you. I want you to know a miracle just happened. I just got finished. We still got 8 minutes. I think it's appropriate. I think it's appropriate. I want us to sing forever again. This is going to be an invitation, okay, on this Easter Sunday. I want to ask the question. Is there anything in your life that's dark right now? Is there anything that's lost right now? Is there anything that you just think's dead right now? It's dead as Lazarus was. 4 days gone. And I want you to hear the rattling of bones. Dry bones. And I want you to see new ligaments coming together, hearts being formed, lungs being formed, livers being formed. I want you to see it. I want you to see that dead thing, that lost thing, that dark thing in your life right now, right here. I want you to see it come to life. So that you can walk from this place sowing your seed. So you can walk out of this place reading your Bible, praying to God, seeking His face with this view of that kind of rightness. God coming to make it right in your life. Because that's what He does. And He does it through resurrection power. This Easter, what do you need to lay down and die to so that you can come to life, to live? What is it that you need to bury today? What is it that you need to come to and to say, God, it is done. It is finished. I give you my life. I quit running from you. I quit doing these things to validate my existence. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you this Easter. I want to know you this Resurrection Sunday. I'm coming to you today. Coming to you. Conquered the grave 2,000 years ago to conquer your grave, whatever that grave is. It can happen today. It can happen today. It's the invitation of a lifetime that God can change it all right now, right here. He can take the bitterness, the anger away, the fear, the anxiety, the stress, all those things can take it away and transform you this very day to be dead with Christ, crucified, buried with Him, and raised to walk in newness of life with Him. It's my prayer. If you need to make that public, we want you to come. If you need help, I want you to come. If you could just want to come and make this place an altar, come make it an altar. Come pray. Come make it right. Come ask God to make it right. And if you just can just and you're free to stay right there and make that seat your altar. What is it that's dark? What is it that's lost? What is it that's dead? I say, dead bones come to life. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth today. Jesus, come forth and move amongst your people so that we might be raised a mighty army for the glory of God. He's here. He's here. And he's available today. Let's stand together. Let's sing this song again forever. Let's sing it with conviction. Let's sing it with power. And if you're in this place right now that you need to make a decision, you come right now. You come. Come to this altar. Come in the name of Jesus. Let's sing unto him. Yeah, just come. Come.